I made a small, doubtful gesture. I really don't feel the need. You can if you want. Or toss right now. If she had something with a front and a back, she could make a throw. If it comes up heads, you stop bothering me about it and get me some tea. She made a quick, amused ha, and then said, "Oh," and reached into her jacket. "Skyot gave me this to give you." Skyot, not that hour. Savardin opened her hand, showed me a gold disc 2 centimeters in diameter. A tiny, leafy border stamped around its edge, slightly off-center, surrounding a name. On Elming.
"I don't think you want to throw it, though," Savardin said, and when I didn't answer, "She said you really should have it."
While I was still trying to find something to say, and a voice to say it with, a security officer approached, cautious. Said, voice deferential, "Excuse me, citizen. Station would like to speak with you. There's a console right over there." She gestured aside.
"Don't you have implants?" Savardin asked.
"I concealed them. Disabled some. Station probably can't see them." And I didn't know where my handheld was. Probably somewhere in my luggage. I had to get up and walk to the console and stand while I spoke. "You wanted to speak to me, Station? Here I am." The week of rest Nandermi and I had spoken of became more and more inviting. "Citizen Breck, me and I," said Station in its flat, untroubled voice. "Me and I." My hand still curled around Lieutenant On's memorial pin. I looked at Savardin coming behind me with my luggage.
"There was no point in making you any more upset than you already were," she said, as though I'd spoken.
The Lord of the Roch had said independent, and I was unsurprised to discover she hadn't meant it. But the move she'd chosen to undercut it did surprise me. "Citizen Breck, me and I," Station said again, from the console, voice as smooth and serene as ever, but I thought the repetition was slightly malicious. My suspicion was confirmed when Station continued. "I would like you to leave here."
"Would you?"
No answer more cogent than that came to my mind.
"Why?"
A half second of delay and then the answer. "Look around you." I didn't have the energy to actually do that, so I took the imperative as rhetorical. "Medical is overwhelmed with injured and dying citizens. Many of my facilities are damaged. My residents are anxious and afraid. I am anxious and afraid. I don't even mention the confusion surrounding the palace proper. And you are the cause of all this."
"I'm not."
I reminded myself that, childish and petty as it seemed now, Station wasn't very different from what I had been, and in some ways the job it did was far more complicated and urgent than mine, caring as it did for hundreds of thousands, even millions of citizens. And my leaving won't change any of that. "I don't care," said Station, calm. The petulance I detected was certainly my imagination. "I advise you to leave now, while it's possible. It may become difficult at some point in the near future." Station couldn't order me to leave. Strictly speaking, it shouldn't have spoken to me the way it had, not if I was, in fact, a citizen.
"It can't make you leave," Savardin said, echoing part of my thoughts.
"But it can express its disapproval. Quietly, subtly. We do it all the time. Mostly nobody notices, except they visit another ship or station and suddenly find things inexplicably more comfortable." A second of silence from Savardin and then,
"Oh!"
From the sound, she was remembering her days on Justice of Torin and the move to Sword of Naphtas. I leaned forward,
my forehead against the wall adjoining the console. Are you finished, Station?
Mercy of Collar would like to speak with you.
5 seconds of silence. I sighed, knowing I couldn't win this game, shouldn't even try to play it. I'll speak to Mercy of Collar now, Station.
Justice of Torin, said Mercy of Collar from the console.
The name caught me by surprise. Started exhausted tears. I blinked them away. I'm only one-esque, I said, and swallowed. 19.
Captain Vell is under arrest, said Mercy of Collar. I don't know if she's going to be re-educated or executed. And my lieutenants as well.
I'm sorry.
It isn't your fault. They made their own choices.
So who's in command? I asked. Beside me, Savardin stood silent, one hand on my arm. I wanted to lie down and sleep. Just that. Nothing else.
One Amat One.
The senior soldier in Mercy of Collar's highest-ranking unit, that would be. Unit leader. Ancillary units hadn't needed leaders. She can be captain, then.
No, said Mercy of Collar. She'll make a good lieutenant, but she's not ready to be captain. She's doing her best, but she's overwhelmed.
Mercy of Collar, I said, if I can be a captain, why can't you be your own?
That would be ridiculous, answered Mercy of Collar.
Its voice was calm as ever, but I thought it was exasperated.
My crew needs a captain. But then, I'm just a Mercy, aren't I? I'm sure the Lord of the Roch would give you a sword if you asked. Not that a sword captain would be any happier to be sent to a Mercy, but I suppose it's better than no captain at all.
No, ship, it's not.
Savardin interrupted, voice severe.
Cut it out, ship.
You're not one of my officers, said Mercy of Collar from the console.
And now the impassivity of its voice audibly broke, if only slightly. Not yet, Savardin replied. I began to suspect a setup, but Savardin wouldn't have made me stand like this in the middle of the concourse, not right now.
Ship, I can't be what you've lost.
You can't ever have that back, I'm sorry. And I couldn't have back what I'd lost either. I can't stand here anymore. Ship, said Savardin stern. Your captain is still recovering from her injuries, and Station has her standing here in the middle of the concourse.
I've sent a shuttle, said Mercy of Collar,
after a pause that was, I supposed, meant to express what it thought of Station.
You'll be more comfortable aboard, Captain.
I'm not, I began, but Mercy of Collar had already signed off. Breck, said Savardin, pulling me away from the wall I was leaning on. Let's go.
Where?
You know you'll be more comfortable aboard. More comfortable than here. I didn't answer, just let Savardin pull me along. All that money won't mean much. If more gates go, and ships are stranded and supplies are cut off. We were headed, I saw, toward a bank of lifts. It's all falling apart. This isn't going to just be happening here. It's going to fall apart all over Roch space, isn't it?
It was, but I didn't have the energy to contemplate it.
Maybe you think you can stand aside and watch everything happen. But I don't really think you can. No. If I could, I wouldn't have been here. Savardin wouldn't have been here. I'd have left her in the snow on Nilt, or never have gone to Nilt to begin with. The lift doors closed us in briskly, a little more briskly than usual, though perhaps it was just my imagination that Station was expressing its eagerness to see me gone. But the lift didn't move. Docks, Station, I said, defeated. There was, in truth, nowhere else for me to go. It was what I was made to do, what I was, and even if the tyrant's protestations were insincere, which they ultimately had to be. No matter her intentions at this moment, still she was right. My actions would make some sort of difference, even if small. Some sort of difference, maybe, to Lieutenant On's sister. And I had already failed Lieutenant On once. Badly. I wouldn't a second time.
Skyot will give you tea, Savarden said, voice unsurprised as the lift moved.
I wondered when I'd eaten last.
I think I'm hungry. That's a good sign, said Savarden,
and grasped my arm more securely as the lift stopped and the doors opened on the god-filled lobby of the docks.
Choose my aim. Take one step and then the next.
It had never been anything else.
The End. You've been listening to Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie, narrated by Celeste Chula,